Two huge earthquakes in Venezuela have taken an enormous toll on families there. The official estimate is nearly 3,700 people killed. Tens of thousands more are still missing. But the quakes have also shaken up the political status quo. Many Venezuelans are frustrated with their government's response to the natural disaster. And they're wondering what the authorities are planning right now in terms of recovery and rebuilding. Others are looking further ahead, and as one man told writer Tibisay Isaiah, "We want radical change in Venezuela. We need to vote massively and soon." That's one of our top stories today at the Christian Science Monitor. Good morning from Boston. I'm Matthew Bell. First, our curation of news briefs from our writers from around the world. Many of these are developing stories. Find the latest updates at csmonitor.com/newsbriefs or on our app. The United Nations called on the U.S. and Iran to de-escalate. UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres urged all sides to urgently resume negotiations after another round of tit-for-tat strikes between the U.S. and Iran. Mr. Guterres warned that a return to all-out hostilities could lead to catastrophic consequences for the Middle East and the global economy. The price of oil went up 5% today to $80 a barrel after President Donald Trump cast doubt on the durability of a ceasefire deal that he signed with Iran in mid-June. An ICE officer fatally shot a man in Houston on Tuesday. Lorenzo Salgado Araujo, an unauthorized immigrant from Mexico, according to the Department of Homeland Security, rammed a federal vehicle and attempted to evade arrest. Immigrant advocates have called for an independent investigation and the release of all evidence. In January, an Immigration and Customs Enforcement officer fatally shot American citizen Renee Good in Minneapolis. Federal officials had similarly raised a claim of self-defense, which contradicted video evidence. Also, Boston's mayor announced a lawsuit against social media companies. The city and its public school district sued Meta, the owner of Instagram and Facebook, as well as TikTok, Snapchat, and YouTube, over addictive design features they say harm children's mental health. The complaint, filed in federal court in California, joins similar suits from more than 1,500 school districts nationwide. In a statement, officials cited a 2024 report from the Boston Public Health Commission that found that 44% of Boston high schoolers experienced persistent sadness in 2021. That's compared with 27% in 2015. A spokesperson for Meta told the Boston Globe, "The evidence will show our longstanding commitment to supporting young people." Now, today's Monitor stories, as always, you can go to csmonitor.com or our app for the latest news. The back-and-forth talk of strikes and ceasefires in the Iran conflict at the NATO summit this week risks straining the alliance's renewed efforts at partnership and unity, a cornerstone of Western defense for decades. Anna Mulrein Groba reports from Ankara, Turkey, for The Monitor. The Iran war's cost to Americans has already climbed well beyond early estimates, with an $87 billion funding request pending. Long-term economic and veteran expenses push the broader cost higher, and new attacks call into question whether the hostilities will soon end. Anna Mulrein Groba reports for The Monitor. Venezuela's earthquakes have created a new test for the exiled political opposition. Try to return to the country and risk being seen as opportunistic, or stay away and face the possibility of becoming irrelevant. Contributor Tibisa Isaiah reports from Caracas, Venezuela, for The Monitor. More than 4 years after Russia's full-scale invasion, Ukraine is seizing the momentum on the battlefield. NATO leaders were hoping to use that as leverage to get Russia back to the negotiation table, but the war in Iran has cast a shadow over this week's summit. Columnist Ned Temko writes from London for The Monitor. Many countries have used infrastructure to bind disputed frontier regions more tightly to the national core. In India, a Monitor writer's awe-inspiring train ride through the Himalayas reveals a region at a political and social crossroads. Contributor Akash Hassan reports from Jammu and Srinagar, India. Now, commentary from The Monitor's editorial board on political candidates, character, and conscience. The right to support and elect candidates for political office is a distinguishing feature of democracy. It can also be a profoundly challenging privilege as political parties and the voting public weigh information and perceptions around candidates' policies and personal appeal, their competence, and character. Around the world, voters want ability and integrity from their politicians. Increasingly, they also want authenticity, a sense that those running for office understand regular people and their daily lives and struggles. Three candidacies in the news this week underscore the civic tension among these needs and demands. The nomination for a United States Senate seat, a local council election in the United Kingdom, and a presidential run in France. Graham Plattner in the U.S., Nigel Farage in the U.K., and Marine Le Pen in France all seem to have tapped into voters' everyday concerns and their yearning for recognition. Campaigning against establishment politicians and policies, they have spoken to issues of affordability, perceptions of elitism, or worries about unrestrained immigration. But now, amid allegations of financial and other serious wrongdoing, citizens may need to decide between party preferences and loyalty on the one hand, and the role of judgment, character, and civic virtue on the other. The temptation is to think of voting as a means of achieving strategic or policy outcomes, according to Brian T. McGraw and Timothy W. Taylor, professors of politics from Wheaton College, Illinois. Instead, they suggested in an essay in National Affairs, sincere voting is an expression of something about one's moral convictions, and citizens should work to make their votes congruent with those convictions. This aligns, they wrote, with the calling humans feel to live lives that are an integrated whole. As of this writing, Mr. Plattner, the Democrat elected to contest Maine's November Senate race, is taking the time to reflect after weekend allegations that he had forced a former girlfriend to have sex with him. This was the latest in a series of reports about Mr. Plattner's purported threatening treatment of other women, an incidence of drunkenness and sexting that he has admitted to. Most Democratic Party leaders and previous supporters have called on him to drop out of the race. Across the Atlantic, Mr. Farage is fending off allegations of financial wrongdoing for not disclosing gifts of £5 million, about $6.7 million. On Tuesday, he took the unusual step of resigning his seat with the intent of running for it again, which he said will allow his constituents to tell the establishment where to go. Also on Tuesday, Ms. Le Pen, convicted of misusing European Union funds for party purposes, received a reduced sentence, which would allow her to run for president. Her far-right party has been steadily gaining support in recent years, and French citizens will have the final say in 2027. Ultimately, according to Marvin Alasky, editor-in-chief of Christianity Today, private and public character are rarely distinct, and just as or more important than policy standpoints. Nevertheless, casting a vote according to one's conscience or conception of character is not about virtue signaling. It's worth remembering that politicians are regular people too, confronting all too common human foibles and temptations, all in the glare of 24/7 news and social media. However, as Professors McGraw and Taylor have noted, citizens expressing themselves sincerely via their votes means they are saying something about how they would like their country or state, etc., to look or act. The stories you just heard are from today's newsletter. Find these stories and more at csmonitor.com or on our app. For more Monitor podcasts, go to csmonitor.com/podcasts. For other audio offerings from our parent organization, go to christianscience.com/audio. Today's Christian Science Spiritual Perspective contributor shares how the understanding that we are nourished spiritually by God results in health and healing. Find the full column at csmonitor.com/csperspective. Thanks to today's audio production team, Libby Fletcher, Mackenzie Farkas, and Tim Malone. I'm Matthew Bell. Thanks for listening.
This podcast is produced by the Christian Science Monitor in Boston, Massachusetts, United States of America. Copyright 2026.